This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. NEC Display has been fairly quietly involved in analytics for a long time now, but it just got very serious and noisy about that capability with the launch of something called ALP, which is short for Analytics Learning Platform. It's a retail intelligence program that uses cameras and other sensors, AI, big data, cloud computing, and network appliances to give retailers a better sense of what's going on in their stores. Tied to digital signage, a retail intelligence platform can optimize messaging based on who's in there, how long they're in there, and the historical patterns of what those people tend to buy. The gold for retail operators is understanding conversion ratios, the what really happens stuff when messages are pushed. There's no shortage of retail intelligence programs out there, but none that I know of built from the ground up with signage as a core element. I spoke with NEC's Rich Ventura, who drove the project, to talk about ALP's roots, how people in the signage ecosystem plug in, and how it all fits. So Rich, you've got this new platform called ALP. And that is launching when?
Today.
There you go.
Yeah, we have the press release. Press releases should be hitting wires here in the next 45 minutes or so.
Oh my God, we're getting a jump on it.
Yeah.
So what is it? You've told me about this for, God, about the last 18 months or so that this was coming. And it sounds a little bit like what is already out there in certain respects, but you're telling me this is different.
Yeah, so what we did is first off, one of the cores within NEC's business, and this is not NEC Display, this is NEC, so our corporation, mm-hmm. We have a very heavy emphasis in big data analytics, AI, facial recognition, facial detection. All of those technologies is a big core part of NEC's global business. And we're really the industry leaders in it. Majority of the time, you don't see it though. It's always hidden behind the scenes. You look at what happened. I think it was maybe a month or so ago here in New York. There was an individual who was wearing a disguise trying to go through JFK Airport, and he was a most wanted criminal. And we were able to detect, recognize, and alert TSA and security of the person, even though he was in a disguise. Hmm. And it's very heavy accuracy. And like I said, it's usually hidden behind the scenes. So about 2 years ago, I was asked to go into a meeting with a lot of our senior executives from Japan and talk about what's the future of the industry. What's the future of digital signage? What's the future of business intelligence? So on and so forth. And we really had a long conversation about the technologies that we have, as well as what are people asking for? What are retailers asking for in particular? Because retail is such a big part of our business. And what we came out of that meeting with was the foundation of developing ALP. ALP is a true analytics business intelligence platform. We spent probably the next 12 to 14 months and brought in foremost industry expert in retail analytics. Didn't want anybody with digital signage background. I wanted an analytics person. Mm-hmm. And we spent a long time doing interviews and building use cases and the design and architecture of what's become ALP from the retailer's point of view. So not taking our technology and saying, well, this is how it works, make it work. Instead, what do retailers want? What are their pain points? What doesn't change every day in their lives? Where are they struggling? Where do they want to be in 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years from now? And what we got out of that was just some amazing amounts of data. And the common terms kept, we started seeing common trends across every retailer. There's a fear of Amazon. There was a fear of Amazon Go stores. There was the inability of being able to build experiences and go across multi-platforms for their customers. There's this fear of privacy. I mean, this whole thing coming from Europe with GDPR and everything else, everything was all about, you know, what do we do with the data? How do we use all this data, but yet how do we maintain everybody's privacy so that we don't violate that? All these things were what we were finding from it. And so we looked at it and like I said, we built this platform with that very much in mind. It wasn't about digital signage. Digital signage is a core component. It isn't about facial detection. Facial detection, though, is a core component. It isn't about beacons. It's not about RFID. It's really about this is driving knowledge and understanding of who's in their store, where are they at in their store, how many people are looking at the screens, what the demographics are, what if it's snowing outside, what really is that impact on sales with millennial females in Boston versus millennial females in Denver, all those types of things. So it's really driving insight and knowledge. And the other thing that's key to it is we're doing this all via API architecture so that we can integrate into multiple different CMS platforms and do some really cool stuff. We're focusing less, and this is the weirdest thing to hear from a display company, we're focusing less on our displays and our computing architecture and much more around what the customers need, the experiences behind it, and how do we have more of an open platform so that we can drive any technologies inside their stores.
So who's the buyer and what are they buying or subscribing to?
Yeah, and that's a great question. The conversations, so let's take like digital signage 101, you generally talk to who? You talk to the marketing people, you talk to the technology people. That's generally who you're working with. We're talking to those guys, but we're talking a lot in the C-suite area. So you're talking to the CEOs, the CFOs, CTOs, CIOs, and every other C-level abbreviation you can think of, as well as the technology guys, as well as the marketing guys. This is about driving their business. Like I said, it digital signage is a core to this, right? We're triggering advertising. We are doing immediate triggers. We're doing long-term triggers. We're delivering data. We're delivering content. We're helping them manage their content strategies, doing all that stuff in our platform. We're not a CMS. We have no plans of it becoming a CMS. It's very much focused around the backend intelligence and giving the insights that customers need. So you can have a store operator, could have levels of access all the way up to the CEO. And it is a subscription. I mean, it's not like and this is where you run into a big challenge for a company like NEC, where we're used to, okay, we sell you a 40-inch LCD, it's tangible, it's in our hands, right? Now we're selling a software with licensing and consumption and subscriptions to different services and integrations and all these things. Very different conversation than what NEC Display mm-hmm. has historically dealt with, although it's not new for NEC. We do this every day with our facial recognition platform and our security platforms and our AI platforms. But we are having a different conversation than the traditional conversation of us sitting down and talking about their needs, wants around display architecture and sizes and display technologies. We're really having conversations about where they're trying to drive their business, what insights are they trying to get. So we do talk to the wide swath within an organization.
And is it you guys selling direct, or I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around you already have some software partners. Are like who's going to sell this to Brand X apparel retailer?
So, you know, those who know NEC, we're not a direct sales organization. We're a channel-based organization, right? We have a lot of great partners that focus heavily in the retail space. We're working really closely with those partners. We've had lots of meetings with key partners, understanding their business, understanding how they sell into the space. So no, we're empowering our partners. We've always had the quote unquote direct touch relationship with the customers where we're always talking to the clients. We're driving the engagements, we're driving our business, but we don't transact, we don't deliver directly. The relationships are going to be very little different with this platform because you have to have a lot more of a direct touch to your customer because mm-hmm. of the integrations, right? The professional services that go into this, the integrations, so on and so forth. However, doesn't change our transactional relationship with our customers. We still transact through our channel partners. We're going to empower the CMS companies that are doing integrations with us. We've got the three that have been integrated as of today. We have integration with Stratos Media, BrightSign, and Navori. Mm-hmm. They'll have the ability and power to sell our platform. We've also have empowered Microsoft. And so Microsoft retail reps will have the ability in the very near future to be part of this because we are running this in an Azure environment. And that's obviously very important for the Microsoft organization. We have other companies that focus heavily in the data security space, in the physical security space, and we're going to be empowering them to have the ability of selling this as part of overall security system options. So there's a lot of new integrators and new channels that normally don't sell displays that we're going to be opening up with this. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a solutions provider that maybe has a few CMS companies and display panel companies that I work with, and I sell into retail, I do a deal with Brand X Footwear Company. They're interested in this. They bring you in to kind of explain what it's all about and so on. At that point, what's going to happen is they're going to subscribe to the CMS platform that they've selected. They're going to subscribe to the ALP program that you guys have. And then there's going to have to be presumably integrations done. Let's assume the CMS is already integrated with ALP. You're going to have to be integration with point of sale system and some other things to make all this happen, right?
So with what we've released or announced today, the integrations are actually been pretty simplified. The version that's been released today is a lighter version of the bigger platform. And so when we look at like POS integration, doesn't need to happen because we can pull directly from XML databases. Okay. So they want to dump their POS, dump their inventory, they want to dump their reporting, any of that stuff into an XML database. That's where the integration is at. And that's pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. API-wise, we can build directly into APIs that the customer wants to have integration. So an example might be they may have RFID tracking information that they want to have. We've already have built in from an integration perspective, integration with data for weather, local events, integration for, like I said, three different CMS companies. We're constantly going to be adding integrations for lots of different reasons, partly because customers are looking for certain integrations, but also there's a laundry list of partners that are already online that will be doing integrations between now and March at DSE. So a lot of it is from a setup and integration is really set up an integration into that customer's environment, setting up their rules, setting up the rules based, if this, then that, or triggering. It's making sure that all of their permissions are set the right way or they want to have access to it. So there's a lot of that integration, and then it's training. Training them, show them how to use the system, how to pull the information. Because of the cloud-based architecture, when it comes to all the big data and the analysis and the access to the user interface, a lot of that is already set up for them, right? And where that integration happens really is making sure that all the network protocols and permissions are set up correctly. One of the other key differences, and this is really a big difference in what we've seen in a lot of platforms out there. When I sat down and we were going through the architecture and through some of the different beta tests that we did with clients, there was two things that I really struggled with. And I looked at it and said, we can do it better. We can do it differently. One was the reliance on specific media players to run the digital signage. And where I struggled was this whole thought process that one player behind the screen does everything. So that one player has your CMS on it. It has your analytics on it. If you're running a camera, it has your camera attached to it. Everything's reliant on that one player. Second is everything's reliant on a pretty powerful player to do a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. Those two things really bothered me because I'm very much if you go back to my days when I ran a retail and restaurant business, redundancy and backups and creating frictionless engagement is very core to how we ran our business, how I ran the business. And so the other thing that I also, kind of a third thing I struggled with was when you do that, you're restricting the opportunity for so many different technologies being involved, like Raspberry Pi and Brightsign players and low cost ARM-based systems and low-cost Intel-based systems, you know, all those different things. You kind of take that away when you have to rely on this very beefy computer behind the display. Mm-hmm. So I happened to be talking with a friend of mine who's an executive at one of the telcos, and I was talking to him about the structure and what they do and everything like that. And I thought, you know, why can't we do something similar? Why can't we, NEC, be more like the telcos and really not care what the endpoint is, not really care about what device is brought to the table. Instead, let's focus at the integrations. Let's focus on being that provider that can free things up a little bit. So what we did is part of the whole architecture with ALP is utilizing a hybrid platform. So we have a very heavy focus in the cloud. That's all data driven. We're focusing on big data analysis, intelligence, and driving that. However, you don't want the cloud because you don't want to be paying the consumption bills and you don't worry about the speed. You don't want the cloud to trigger your advertising. You don't want the cloud to do all the stuff that would happen in the store. So what we did is we put an appliance in, and that appliance now controls everything. That appliance, all the cameras that we're doing are all PoE based, so IP addressable, no USB cameras whatsoever. Yes, it's more expensive, but the cameras you don't need a media player to run the cameras. The cameras all come into the appliance, all over a network switch, single mm-hmm. switch. The endpoints, the media players behind the screens, I don't care what they are anymore. I worry more about making sure that the CMS company has an integration with us. The CMS company is responsible for saying which media players are there. Yes, we want to drive our OPS architecture. Yes, I want to drive Raspberry Pi. Yes, I want to drive Brightsign OPS, all those different things. But guess what? Any of those things can be behind there. In fact, any operating system can be running on them as well. So you could have, if you're crazy, you could have one box running Chrome, one running Android, one running Linux, one running Mac, and one running Windows. I don't care anymore. It's more about making sure that we're driving through the APIs to the CMS company. Why is that all important? Well, now I don't have to worry about if the analytics overpowers the computer and all of a sudden the screens go blank. Don't worry about that anymore because we're not doing that at all. I don't have to worry about going to the customer and saying that, yes, you want to do this. Yes, let's get it in there. But by the way, you got to replace every single media player behind your screen. It becomes more of a frictionless engagement and putting it in there without having to change their world. And when it comes from a technology standpoint, it's introducing some additions to it, but it's an easier integration than going in and saying, okay, I got to replace all your media players.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So if I'm a retailer end user, I suspect if I'm the IT guy or the ops guy, I'm getting besieged by technology companies every week saying, we've got the answer for you. It's all AI based, it's machine learning based, whatever. It'll do this, it'll do that, it'll solve all your problems. how do they sort through all this stuff, and why do they choose ALP versus the stack of options that are piling up on their desks?
I know it's crazy how many options keep popping up on everyone's desks, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking with one of our retail customers yesterday, actually, and we're talking through everything. And he goes, you know, I've got 25 to 30 retail analytics platforms being pitched to them right now. And I said, okay, what are you hearing? What's the most common things? And he goes, oh, AI, AI, AI. And I go, okay, great. What are they telling you? Well, they're saying they can drive my efficiencies better. They can drive this better. And I said, okay. And they can do this with my website. And they can do this with my mobile devices. And I'm honest. I say, listen, do I have the perfect, greatest thing in the world? Nobody does. There's no such thing as a silver bullet. However, what I do have is a platform that can work with what your environment is like, and it grows with you and expands with you. And there's so many different features that are in the current version, as well as the version that'll be coming out by DSE, that we can really give you the data you need in simple access and very powerful form. And the other thing I said is, something really key to remember is, and go back to what I kind of started with this thing. Most of the companies out there, they built the technology and then now they're fitting it into the environment. We spent a lot of time and effort working with retailers, understanding them and what they needed before a single piece or a single line of code was even written. If I go back to we call it the book internally, but I go back to the document that was created from the analyst, that consultant that we brought on. This thing is, I think, somewhere around 300 or 400 pages, just around needs, wants, and use cases of retail analytics. We used probably 85% of that in the design of this. And so the difference that we deliver is, it's about the data. It's about what the retailers want and how they want to engage and get the information about their customers and cross-reference it against things and truly understand what's going on in their store. And it's anonymous. There's a lot of systems out there that talk about, oh, we can interact into your CRM. Well, that's not anonymous anymore. We can tell you exactly who's in your store. Guess what? That's not anonymous, right? We're focusing around what is that data that they want, remaining anonymous, and giving them a better understanding of who, what, where, why, and how people are engaging in their stores. And then we're giving them data like conversion rates on the ad. So if I ran this watch 25 times, how many of those watches did I sell over the period of that day, that week, that month, that year? We're giving them that ability of actually going granular and understanding the true impact that the advertising's had on the store, on their sales.
Mm-hmm. So what is the end user seeing? Do they get some sort of a dashboard that's going to tell them in very simple visual terms, here's what's happening? Because I would imagine what I hear from retailers when they talk about data is, this is all very cool, but I'm just trying to, you know, get through the day. You know, what am I going to do with all these lines of numbers and everything else?
Yep. So a key part of the service is there's a dashboard, NEC Analytics dashboard that they access. So when they log into the portal, four areas that they see. The first is a main dashboard. In here, they're going to see store conversion rates. They're going to see store traffic. They're going to see demographic data. They can see it by store, by region, by company. They're going to get all that information, right? Then they can go into reports. In the reports, they can see store productivity. They can see transaction rates. They can see engagement. They can see conversions. They can see traffic patterns. They can get impression data. There's actually an audit. We built an audit log in there so they can audit and see not only proof of play, which we've all talked about for all these years in digital signage, they also get proof of delivery. So they know exactly where they've delivered content to, because our system will actually send the content to the CMS for the different ads, for the different gender, demographics, and weather, and things like that, which they tag in the system. they get all that, and they know exactly which player got it, who, when it got it, what location, so on and so forth, from a delivery perspective for pure auditing. So that's one piece, or that's the second piece. So the first piece being the traditional dashboard. The second piece is what's called the CAM, which is the analytics module. The third is what's called the marketing engine. The marketing engine gives them the ability of full management of all the assets. So any pieces of content, any assets they have access to all of that through our DAM in Azure. So with the full storage of all that content. And so they can go in, they can see all the different pieces of assets. They can stitch it together if they want to create a piece of content actually in the software. Then they can tag it based on demographics, age, gender, and as well as weather. They can modify that at any time. They can schedule it to be delivered down to the CMS, so it's there when they want to trigger it. All that information is there. And then they get a good understanding. The last piece to it is a strong understanding of which locations are running what, how many cameras. So they're getting all that information in a centralized spot. They're getting information on their consumption of Azure services. They're getting information on their consumption of other services, what their subscription is. They'll have access to their CMS partner, whichever CMS partner they go with, they'll have access to their web portal from the platform. So it becomes really that hub for them to access everything and be able to get all the information they want at their fingertips in a very simple, easy to digest format. So they aren't looking at tons of lines of data anymore. They're looking at truly what's going on in their environment.
So you're about 80% of the way, if not more, to having something that could do full delivery of the content and the whole nine yards. I would imagine there had to at least have been an internal debate about, it would not be that hard to turn this into something that also functions as a CMS.
No, you're definitely right. That's not our business, though, right? I think there's enough CMS companies out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather work and grow. I mean, you know me long enough to know my opinion about our partnerships, right?
Yeah.
Partnerships are holy to me. Our relationships with the CMS companies, they go deep, they go long, they go wide. And I'm also a firm believer that, and a lot disagree with me, that there's no such thing as a magic bullet CMS out there. There's a reason why there are so many CMS companies out there. Right? I'll admit there are too many, but there's a reason why there's a lot of CMS companies out there. I would much rather work with our CMS partners and deliver what the customer wants, not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, could a platform like this migrate towards the CMS? If that's what your direction, your strategies are, yeah. But that's not what our direction and strategies are.
Right.
The one thing I'll tell you that is probably one of the most important aspects of this is there's a big part about NEC's history that played into this. If you go back to the beginning of displays, you had multi-sync. Multi-sync was the whole idea of going away from having specialized video cards that you would plug a display into. Instead, you could plug any display into any video card and run it, right? Mm-hmm. That was the whole multi-sync branding, the whole idea behind multi-sync. I looked at that history, and anyone who's smart, any leader always looks back to history that made changing points in the industry or changed your organization. And that was a major turning point and change in our organization and the industry. I looked at the same idea and said, well, why would I want to force one way of doing things when I could do it with multiple different ways, with multiple different platforms, and drive more about data and the engagement with our customers? And that's why we built the platform the way we did. Is we're not looking at, I want to be a CMS. It's not in our DNA. It's not where I see us. Mm-hmm. Instead, why don't I be instead that conduit between multiple different CMS systems and the customers?
I would imagine the thing that really intrigues and the ask that the retailers really wanted was conversion ratio, something that proves mm-hmm. that what they're doing has an impact.
Yep, it is. I actually had a customer yesterday say to me, what's my ROI? And I said, well, guess what? You're going to know your ROI at all times. He goes, what do you mean? I go, this system is an ROI generator for you. We're going to tell you what your conversions of your advertisements are going to be, what your investment is, what you're going to get. All that stuff's going to be driven out of the system. You're going to know and be able to look at your dashboard and say that I've got an 18% increase in sales. I've got 70% conversion rate on this piece of content or this thing here. And I've got increase of sales of this. All those things you're going to have at your fingertips. And it's going to eliminate. I think one of my biggest struggles, and I've always had a struggle with this, is that conversation when a customer says, I want to know what my ROI is. And I constantly hear some, companies out there say, well, you're going to have a 30% ROI. I don't agree. ROI is a personal discussion and a personal journey. Just because my competitor has a 20% ROI on the platform they built doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to have the same numbers. Mm-hmm. I don't have the same marketing people. I don't have the same product. I'm not the same company that they are. I don't have the same stores. I don't have the same locations. Everything has to be identical for me to say that you're going to get the same ROI. That's a big part of what this thing is about. It's about helping customers with that personal journey of understanding what ROI is in their environment. Because things like conversion rates, that's important data for them to understand that if I run this ad and I trigger it against this demographic and I do it at this time, I'm going to see this type of increase or change in my business.
Hmm. All right. So if people want to know more about ALP, how do they find that information?
One of the best ways is reaching out to me directly and having a discussion and setting up a demo and going through it. Like I said, we are launching today. We have the press release. It should be hitting here fairly soon. We will also have the microsite will be up and running here fairly shortly. It'll be at necdisplay.com/ALP, ALP. There'll be a hyperlink on our website. Follow the social media trail. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming out on that. The product will be shipping in January. So we will be shipping just in time for NRF. So there'll be a massive amount of this platform showing at NRF. We'll be showing it at DSE, all of our major shows. It'll be at ISE in Europe. But it's becoming a core to our DNA.
Okay. So hard not to find.
Exactly. There's going to be a lot of stuff about, you'll see a lot of things about ALP out in the platform, out in the industry.
All right, Rich, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.